the word of God. And that psalm is just too wonderful. One of the psalms that takes your breath away, takes us by surprise. Even verse 1, if we look at it, is a real shake-up. Oh Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me. That frightens me. I don't know about you, I mean, I'm not frightened you, but it frightens me. You see, sometimes we don't want people getting to know us completely because they're afraid and we're afraid that they might discover something about us they won't like. And we forget that God knows, and he really is the only one that counts. We can't hide anything from him, even if we try. The intimate knowledge of that wonderful psalm of you and me and everyone on the earth is, that to me, absolutely mind-blowing. There's too much for our small minds to take in. He knows everything about you and everything about me. A miracle of miracles, he still loves us. Even to how many hairs are on your head and mine. I know how many hairs are on my black cardigan, especially when the hairdresser's been. But we remember that in Matthew's gospel it says that he counts the very hairs of your head and my head. And he counts them because he loves us. This is God's exercise of love, the sheer knowledge of knowing how many hairs are on you and me. I don't know. I mean, not last time he came, but when we'd gone out of lockdown, I had a curl, believe it or not, and I picked one up and I thought, I'll see how many hairs are in this. Too many. And it was only one tiny curl. You know, Jesus knew when he said this about God's love being so great that he counts the hairs of our heads. He knew that his followers would go through a tough time. Remember, God stays with us. He accepts us and he loves us through all our situations and trials. He protects us and he guides us. And he loves us completely. God knows, it says, when we sit down and when we stand up. When we travel, when we are at home. He also knows the next word that we're going to say. You go before me, Lord, and follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. And then David, in this wonderful psalm, exclaims, such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand. Almighty God stays with you and me throughout every situation in your life and mine. I know there's times when you don't think it. There's been times when I've not thought it. I've thought, where are you in this, Lord? But he is there. It's just that the trials and the troubles, they block him out for a while. You know, when we begin to know this God, we can say, how great thou art. The theme for this magnificent Psalm of David is his knowledge that, first of all, God is almighty. He's all-seeing and all-knowing. He's all-powerful. And everywhere he's present. God knows you and me intimately. God is with us. And I believe that his greatest gift this morning and every day of your life and mine is to allow us to know him. Paul, writing in Romans to the new Christians in Rome, encouraged them and asked the question, can anything ever separate us from God's love? And he continued to write, does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity? These words were written to this fledgling church in Rome that would soon undergo terrible persecution. In a few years, these thoughts would turn to painful realities. But like the wonderful psalm that I've read, these writings reaffirm Almighty God's profound love for you and me, our loved ones. We can never be separated from God's love. And one of the greatest New Testament verses is from verse 38 and 39 of Romans 8. When he says, I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today, nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power, the word says, in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Powers, unseen forces of evil in the universe. And in Ephesians 6, for we're not fighting against flesh and blood, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. There's a lot of whys, isn't there? You know, the world is truly upside down. And we need to pray for Christian men and women and children in those parts of God's world where being a Christian is not tolerated. And let's carry on praying for all situations. The thing that got my biggest attention when the soldiers were on the top of the wall trying to drag people over it, one of our soldiers had a baby with its arm and he was hauling the baby up. Of course the baby is crying. But as I looked, I thought that baby's going to be safe. And one of the things it said in the paper the day after was that mum and dad were on the other side of the wall. It was an uncle or something, someone who was helping that child to be reunited. What a wonderful reuniting thing that would be when their little baby crying, yes, in a mess, yes, but I bet it quietened when it got its mum and dad. So then, in Psalm 139, where if we did not know it, we can't flee from God. He knows where we are and what we're doing. I thought about Jonah. I like Jonah because he's a bit like me, really. He's given a job to do by God to deliver God's message. Well, he didn't like this message, did he? And it says he didn't want to do it. So he hopped on a ship. And instead of going to the east, he went to the west, to Tarshish. He decided he'd go to Spain instead. You know, he couldn't escape God, could he? And I wouldn't like to think that God would have to swallow me up in a big whale or whatever to get me to do what I should. David, we know, he sinned with Bathsheba and had her husband murdered. Maybe he thought he'd got away with it. But God knew. David says in verse 11, I cannot hide from you. God knows, and it's so hard to take in. You know, sometimes we think we're all right, and I've been reading some words from a lady called Jill Penley. And she looks at life like this. God won't ask what kind of a car you've got, but he will ask how many people you drove who didn't have transportation. God won't ask the square footage of your house, but he will ask how many people you've welcomed into your home. God won't ask about your clothes and how many you had in your closet, but he'll ask how many you helped to clothe. God won't ask what your highest salary, I never had a high salary, highest salary was. But he will ask, no matter what your salary was, if you were compromised, your character to obtain it. And God won't ask what your job title was. But he will ask if you performed your job to the best of your ability and with honesty and integrity. God won't ask how many friends you had, but he will ask how many people to whom you were a friend. God won't ask in what neighborhood you live, but he will ask how you've treated your neighbors. Finally, God won't ask about the color of your skin, but he will ask the content of your character. You know, we have the last stanza, more or less, from 13 to 16, telling us about God's character. And I love these words. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Don't know what you're going to think about me. Made by God, it says. Knitted together. Knitted together in the womb. This psalm shows us God's love for the universe. And when you think about it, his love for mothers and fathers and the unborn. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Even when we struggle to get out of bed, even when, guys, you struggle to put your socks on. And girls, how to put your tights on. Well, I don't do that anymore. But you know what I mean. As we get older, we find out we're doing things that we've never done before. Asking for help is one thing, but being looked after is someone who loves you, is looking after you. You know, God, it says, saw you and me before we were born. I can't get my head around that. Every day of our life was recorded in God's book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. Philippians 4 talks about this book of life. All those marked for salvation. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm sure I speak for all of us. I think we would like our name in God's book. We want to be like, if you like, the Greek visitor in Jerusalem. Do you remember just at Passover time? And they're pushing through the crowd. And they saw Philip. They didn't know who he was. All they knew, he was called Philip. And Philip's a Greek name. And they were Greeks. And they'll say, he knows, because of real understanding. And when you think about it, this packed humanity, the noise, everybody doing their own thing, pushing and shoving. And they said these wonderful words, "Sir, we would like to see Jesus." Oh, if only we would like to see Jesus. We want to see Jesus, not just see, but with him, be with him, never to be separated. Search me, test me, point out, lead me along that path of everlasting life. Two verses that speak of anxious thoughts. And God does care, you know. When we're anxious, he does. Some people say he doesn't. I've heard that more times lately. Where is God in all this? I don't know. How are you asking me? And then they say, well, you should know. You go to church on a Sunday. No, nobody knows everything about God. No. The point is, human nature many times only looks at what the world can give instead of thanking Almighty God for what they have. I leave you with a few thoughts. And it's about a man. It was a true story, this, about a man who believes he has very little in his life, especially money, against one who seems to have it all. This story takes place in a garage. And there was a mechanic. He was struggling to remove the cylinder head of a very big Triumph motorcycle. I know about them. It was then he spotted somebody he knew. And this man was a well-known heart surgeon who brought his motorcycle in to have it serviced. The mechanic shouted right across the garage, "Hey, Doc, over here." And he noted, as this gentleman came across, how clean he was and what nice clothes he had. And he was jealous. The mechanic straightened up and he wiped his oily hands on a more oily rag. Look at this engine, he said. Beautiful. I've stripped it down. I've opened up its heart. I take valves out. I fix them, put them back. And when I've finished, it works. It works like new. So how come, okay, you're a heart surgeon, but how come you get a lot more money than me? Big money. When you and I are basically doing the same thing. The surgeon just went down very quietly and said to the mechanic, try doing it with the engine running. You know what I mean? We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Amen.